And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Caesar Augustus was the first emperor of the Roman Empire and ruling during the last few years of the first great advent, a season of anticipation of the coming Messiah, inheriting the vast expanse of land and people originally gathered by Alexander the Great just a few centuries before. Caesar Augustus was one of the most powerful men that the world had ever seen. And people of power typically have at least one goal in common, which is to maintain and even increase that power. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary during a season in which Caesar Augustus was conducting a census so that he could increase his empire's wealth. As it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, but also that census would increase the glory of his empire. He could not have known that his plan was to be used by God to bring about the Father's own great plan of salvation. Joseph took Mary from the town of Nazareth. They moved by foot and by donkey towards the city of Bethlehem. Perhaps they may not have even known or recalled the words of the prophet Micah, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man on earth, was God's unwitting agent in moving Joseph and Mary towards the city of David, where the King of Kings would be born. A man who could not help but one day grow old and hand his power off to someone else, paves the way for a ruler in Israel whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, and whose work would last eternally, not from a grave, but from an everlasting and heavenly throne. Herod was just a local king. He was allowed by the emperor to reign over Judea. They would allow him to call himself king, for they knew that the role of king had been respected in this unruly area for many centuries. But when he heard that another king was to be born in this area of his little influence, he would try his best to retain his power from a newborn king. One day, asking his priest where the Christ would be born, he heard that message again, Bethlehem. And so we see that Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, unto whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, takes his first breath as an infant in the prophesied city of Bethlehem. The one who would one day refer to himself as the bread of life, and that anyone who did not eat of him would have no life in him, is born in a town whose name is House of Bread, Bethlehem, House of Bread. Cyril of Alexandria would say of this a few centuries later, "He found humanity reduced to the level of the beasts. Therefore, he is placed like feed in a manger, that we, having left behind our carnal desires, might rise up to that degree of intelligence which befits human nature. Whereas we were brutish in soul, by now approaching the manger, yes, his table, we find no longer feed, but the bread of heaven, which is the body of life." And so we come this night soon to light candles as our O Come, Emmanuel becomes silent night, holy night. All is calm. All is bright round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. We approach this altar for the bread of life, acknowledging as sheep approaching the manger that the Word has become flesh and dwelt amongst us. God has taken up humanity in himself and been born of a virgin, ready to become not only the shepherd, but the food upon which the souls of his flock are nourished. When it comes to Christmas, many readily believe in a woman giving birth to a child in a stable. Many will readily believe in something good and new coming from a lower class, regardless of the efforts of the upper class. Many are ready to believe in peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Many are ready to believe in shepherds, in wise men, and Herod, and even joy to the world, gift-giving, family, happiness, love. These we know and we have seen in large part. But make no mistake, the child laid in that manger is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. That is the Logos, the Word. That child is our Lord and our God, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. This is a vast and immeasurably significant and breathtaking truth. That is the 10-car pileup at every creche. This is harder to contemplate. On December 21st, just a few days before Christmas, the church observes the feast of St. Thomas. If there's one thing that St. Thomas had become famous for, it is not, first of all, his mission to India. It is not, first of all, his apostolate in any other country. It's his reaction to the news that Jesus Christ, his rabbi, had risen from the dead. Unless I see it for myself, unless I put my hand into the wounds on his hands and thrust my hand into the wound of his side, I will not believe. Days after his resurrection, Jesus did appear to him, just as he had demanded, and his response was telling. My Lord and my God. We observed St. Thomas Day this past Wednesday. We transferred it to that regular noon Eucharist. And I read each year to the congregation on that day a homily by Gregory the Great concerning the doubt of Thomas. And his point is this: it is God's providence that allowed Thomas to doubt. And it's for our benefit today on Christmas Eve that his increase of faith was on display. St. Gregory pointed out, first of all, the difference between faith and sight. When you see something with your own eyes, it's no longer faith, but knowledge. You do not have faith that I'm standing behind this pulpit speaking to you. You have knowledge that I'm standing behind this pulpit speaking to you. There's nothing to believe. It just is. Here I am. St. Thomas did not have faith that Jesus had risen from the dead. He knew it when he saw Jesus standing before him. There was no room left for unbelief. There was simply knowledge. But what Thomas said is not, yes, now I know that you are risen from the dead. He does not say, I guess you are right and now I see. He says, my Lord and my God. Gregory writes, to mortal men it is not given to see God. He therefore saw only man, the resurrected Christ, and yet confessed him to be God, saying, my Lord and my God. This he said, seeing and believing, seeing very man, yet believing him to be very God, whom he could not see. What a comfort are the words which follow. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Those words are meant for us who have not seen even the flesh and yet who do believe. This Christmas and every Christmas, outside of some mystical vision or experience, it's not for us to see the newborn Christ in a manger in Bethlehem. It's not for us to meet Mary and Joseph face to face. It's not for us to sit in King Herod's palace and listen in on the anxious conversation. It's not for us to mingle in fields with shepherds watching their flocks by night. But there is something in the reaction of St. Thomas that is for us tonight. He saw the man and believed him to be very God. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We have seen the church persist regardless of persecution or the rise and fall of countless empires. We have been baptized into this Christ and approach this manger week in and week out, feeding on the bread of heaven. We have heard from the apostles, just as Thomas had heard, just as the shepherds had heard. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. When the shepherds saw him, they immediately became missionaries, running to the town to tell everyone what they believed. When the Magi of the East saw him, then genuflected and presented their gifts, they saw a baby, but they believed he was the King of Kings. Tonight we hear again the story of the birth of Christ, and we have a creche to look upon in the narthex. But he has presented himself to us at this altar, at this manger too. The Mass of Christ is upon us. The feast of the Incarnation is here. The bread of heaven is before us. We are to stand, to sit, to kneel, to approach in wonder. Believe the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord at thy birth, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.